Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Want to get a free smart TV set or device from the likes of Samsung, LG, Vizio, or Roku? I mean a free smart television set? The opportunity, according to our first guest, may come sooner than you expect. Get why and when from Continuous Media founder Adam Weiner when he joins me next. It's day two of On New Jersey, believed to be among the first statewide TV networks distributed exclusively through smart TV products and multi-channel bundles. We'll check out the current and future of this venture next half hour with Media First Group partners Gerald D'Ambra and Lisa Marie Falbo. ABC is ready to launch new Milo Ventimiglia starring drama The Company You Keep February 19th. For executive producer Lindsay Goffman, it's the latest chapter of requests to adapt Korean TV content into USA hit series. You'll hear Goffman live after the top of the next hour. Also on deck, a trio of high-profile series renewals, Amazon's 2022 TV spending spree, our classic trivia question, and daytime syndicated TV at a crossroads, our takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. 23 degrees, the top of the hour here in New York. Yes, it is a very cold afternoon to wrap up a week, not only here in the Mid-Atlantic region, but also up in New England. And no matter where you are, we're happy to have you with us for our special 90-minute edition of the program All About TV's Current and Future. We have a lot of great guests coming away over the next hour and a half, a lot of great topics to discuss. So we want you to be involved and interact with our guests. How? Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room business as well, so definitely use it. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find the chat room and getting in at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Stream, follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. Adam Weiner from Continuous Media will join us live here in New York after these news notes. We're in the midst of a big renewal Friday for high-profile series, all earning a second season. Yellowstone prequel 1923 will return on Paramount Plus, with co-stars Helen Mirren and Harrison Ford expected to return as well. For AMC and AMC Plus, it's on to a sophomore season with Anne Rice's Mayfair Witches, whose co-star Annabeth Gish was on this very program last month. Production is expected to resume in New Orleans this summer or fall. And earlier this afternoon, That 90s Show earned a new round of episodes from Netflix. The series updates long-running Fox sitcom That 70s Show. Amazon became a bigger TV content spender last year, according to an annual report filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. About $16.6 billion was set aside for TV, film, and music initiatives, 28% more than 2021 at $13 billion. The TV spending covers Prime Video, including the Lord of the Rings TV series, whose first-year budget was around $450-$500 million, Amazon Freevee, Thursday Night Football, whose rights fee is about $1 billion a year for the next decade, and TV series made by MGM, which Amazon acquired last year. All Quiet on the Western Front director Edward Berger, whose remake of the 1930s iconic war movie is up for 9 Academy Awards thanks to its presentation on Netflix, is launching a new production company. 9 Hours is the name, and Fremantle has a 2-year first-look deal to distribute any TV series originating there. In recent years, Berger directed Showtime's Emmy-nominated miniseries Patrick Melrose with Benedict Cumberbatch and the Bryan Cranston-starring series Your Honor. Now quickies, Titanic 25 years later will play on National Geographic Sunday night. The special celebrates 25 years of James Cameron's Oscar-winning iconic movie. Other Sunday night specials, For All Humankind, simulcasting on HBO Max, Discovery Plus, and Science Channel, and new TV One movie, Under the Influence. And Netflix dramedy Unstable, which pairs Rob Lowe with John Owen Lowe on and off camera, begins March 30th. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me here in New York, the founder of Continuous Media, Adam Weiner. Adam, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Simon.
Adam, before we get into your thesis about smart TVs being offered free, tell us about Continuous Media. When did you found it? What does it do?
Sure. Founded it about a little over a year ago after I had been at CBS For the second time in my career, I was last there, I was the Executive Vice President and General Manager of CBS Local Digital, running the digital assets for all of the television stations of CBS, owned and operated television stations. I also was General Manager and EVP of CBS Radio for Digital in its final moments where CBS Radio existed before it was sent to Entercom, now Odyssey. You know, my role at Continuous Media is essentially I'm a gun for hire, working with companies and organizations around the globe on streaming, digital, and traditional broadcast strategy, feasibility studies, and pretty much anything that can tap into my experience of having run large media networks.
So, Adam, here we are in an era where smart TV set and device makers are not only aggregating original or acquired content and channels, they are now creating content and channels. Vizio has been doing it for over a year, almost 2 years. LG started doing it last year. Samsung is doing it. Of course, Roku is doing original content. With all of that happening, you are saying that there is a good possibility that at some point, smart TV set makers, they and others, will start offering their sets for free.
Yeah, I truly believe that. I think the time is coming for television manufacturers to begin adopting the same loss leader tactic that mobile carriers have employed for many, many years. You know, join Verizon and get a free smartphone. Join AT&T and get a free smartphone. They're giving away these phones to basically have you connect to their network and be part of their network only. And obviously, you then have to pay carrier fees to them, of course, for that service. But the idea of sending, giving away smartphones is not new, obviously. But the hook, of course, is that you are forever bound, or until you decide to change carriers, which switching costs become very high, you're forever bound to that carrier. And so the idea for television is essentially this, is that these televisions, smart TVs, you know, you think about televisions of yesteryear, you know, they were just basically dumb monitors, for lack of a better term, that you had to, for any kind of programming or content, you had to have a cable. You had to have cable or you had to have an antenna. Now, of course, a smart TV, you know, as long as it's hooked to the internet, you can access all sorts of content. And you then become a user of that television manufacturer's operating system. And those operating systems, again, it's the same sort of thing. Once you bury your hooks into them, it's very hard to switch. And one of the reasons why it will become most mainly a you know, an idea that you know, why I'm presenting this idea is because most of these manufacturers are also getting into the advertising game. It's a very easy thing to understand, and essentially it's rooted in FAST. And for those of your listeners who don't know what FAST is, I'll just briefly explain. You know, there's essentially three different types of video models. One is subscription video on demand, SVOD, which is the Netflixes of the world, where you subscribe and you pay a monthly fee and you get access to the content. The second is AVOD, which is advertising video on demand, which is advertising supported video on demand, which are things like YouTube, right? You're choosing to watch something, but you got to watch some ad before you can see the content. And then there's FAST, which is free ad-supported streaming television, which are basically linear-like channels. And you're not choosing to start a program, you know, when you want to watch it. You're just tuning in, and whatever's airing is what you'll watch at the time where you tune in. Very much like the old cable systems, or you know, where you're choosing a channel to watch. Now, why this is becoming so prevalent FAST is because there are many content creators out there who found a very low bar of entry to create channels, right? People who own IP suddenly decided, we're going to create a channel. We're going to stand up a channel, and we're going to see if we can monetize it. You know, it's sitting in our library. Let's see if we can wring some dollars out of it. So companies like Pluto and Xumo and Tubi started to come into existence, where they did deals with these channel creators to say, we will distribute your channel through a free-to-access app, and it'll be on a smartphone or it'll be on a television set. Mm-hmm. Now, if the,
and just
the
to interrupt
adoption
one second,
of,
Adam, in fact, our next half hour, we're going to have the newest services, the statewide on New Jersey, which is right now distributing through Roku and ultimately wants to be distributed specifically on smart TV sets, devices, and the multi-channel bundles like Pluto TV, Xumo, Fubo TV, and so forth.
So what happens, what winds up happening is these manufacturers have realized, television manufacturers have realized, well, I own the interface. I have the UI. So why am I outsourcing essentially my the ability to put fast channels to some other company like a Pluto or a Tubi or a Xumo? I can just do it myself. So Samsung TV Plus is possibly the best example of that, where if you buy a Samsung Smart TV and you turn it on, you plug it into the wall, you connect it to the internet, that's all you do, they will push right to you immediately saying, you can start watching television immediately on Samsung TV Plus. We have 1,000 channels for you to choose from. And those channels are subsidized through advertising. So what winds up happening is these, because it's free and it's in front of people, these free services, the fast services, have grown immensely over the past few years. And they have created tremendous audiences. 2 years ago, Pluto said that they were going to be a $1 billion top-line revenue company last year. I mean, this is how big this is. Samsung has its own ad group called Samsung Ads. So, of course, what winds up happening is once you amass a big audience, who wants to be there? The marketers. Marketers want to spend their money. Agencies want to spend their money in the places where they can attract audiences and target those audiences in a very digital-like way, as opposed to broadcast television, which is a big broad branding play. So I can reach my very specific desired target audience through these digital systems, and so they're going to start paying money to be there. And if I'm Samsung, it's a very easy line to think now, well, if this is where I'm going to get people to watch and I want to build that audience as big as I can, I need more people with Samsung televisions. So I'm going to give them away. Now, I'm not talking about like the CES flagship, the roll-up or the transparent, crazy, aspirational $100,000 sets. I'm talking about the most basic base models of these manufacturers, the cheapest ones, right? So perhaps there might be an opportunity for, and I believe this is coming in the near future, where a manufacturer will say, we'll give you our cheapest television, because they know what winds up happening is those people will then be using the Samsung OS. Samsung will be able to push their Samsung TV Plus channels to them, and then the marketers start spending money with Samsung. And then, of course, the Samsung will, give a portion of that to the content creators, which is a great ecosystem for them. So I think everybody benefits. And what is the cost of a cheap television anyway, right? I mean, you can get super cheap televisions now for, $100. I mean, I've seen them, small ones, but like you can see a smart television for a pretty low cost entry, right? So maybe it's worth it for them to give it away. And some people have even commented, because I put this theory out there on LinkedIn and other places, some people have already commented, which is very true, that many of these TVs might have been subsidized already by the likes of Netflix's and others who have said, we'll pay you to put a Netflix button on your remote. will pay you to make sure Netflix is front and center when they launch the interface. And I think that that becomes a good marketing tool as well. So imagine a marketing tool of saying to the consumer, hey, we'll give you a free television and you get a free television set and you get free channels, live channels with it. Now, of course, these are not your broadcast channels, and ultimately these manufacturers may wind up going around the YouTube television, Sling TVs, et cetera, the virtual MPDDs, and wind up doing carriage deals directly with the ownership, the TV ownership groups. And maybe, you know, that might be something you'll have to pay for potentially. But these free
let me just jump in and say that when we're talking about cheap smart TV sets, we're not talking about cheap in terms of apps. There's a lot of apps. And remember, these smart TV sets can be electronically upgradable for all sorts of other services. I want to get to that in a little bit. Let me just pause a moment and let our folks know that you are listening to Tomorrow Be Televised. We've got Adam Wiener, the founder and lead executive of Continuous Media, joining me here in New York this half hour. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next episode is Monday, special time, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's lunch hour on the East Coast, breakfast time on the West. And joining us will be the producers of the new Disney Channel and Disney Plus Toon, Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, Steve Lober and Rodney Clouden. They've already got a second season for their program, which premieres on February 10th on Disney Channel, also being presented later on Disney Plus. Steve Lober and Rodney Clouden from Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, that's our guest on Monday, special time. That's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Adam, when do you see the free TV sets being made public to consumers, and who do you think will pull the trigger first?
You know, it's a really great question. You know, it's going to just take one of these manufacturers to do it, and it may not be, you know, the Samsungs of the world, the really big one. It may be one of these already low cost providers already, the TCLs of the world, the Hisense. You know, companies that are maybe using, Amazon, which of course is another huge ad system, or ones that are currently using Google as their operating system. And Google and Apple are wild cards here, right? Because they don't make television sets. They're not manufacturers. They're just operating systems. And in the case of Apple, it's an app now. It's not, you know, some people still use Apple TV boxes, but most people are probably just using Apple TV apps now inside other things. Roku is a good question mark as well. You know, they announced in the past few months that they're going to start creating their own hardware. Maybe they might get into this game where they're giving away television sets and, you know, they're, but, you know, the really big ones are still, it's such a huge business that, you know, it may be longer for them to get in that game. But if I had to guess, it would be potentially somebody like a Google Android television, powered television, of one of these other manufacturers, Google basically underwriting the giving away of these sets, just so they can get people hooked into Android television. Google announced Google owns YouTube, and YouTube announced that they're going to start creating their own FAST channels. So, you know, I could see them turning around and saying, you know, we're just going to pay, you know, one of these manufacturers where we're currently the operating system to just give these sets away.
Yeah, and do you see this, let's say, starting to happen, let's say, by end of year, definitely in 2024? What's the timeline?
Yeah, I mean, my guess is it's going to be at least a year away. You know, it could even be more. Again, I think it's going to take a group that is feeling squeezed, essentially, from audience growth, and therefore worrying that they are going to not compete for ad dollars in the agency, you know, the agency buying as effectively as some of the bigger ones, right? So as, you know, Roku is still a huge player, Amazon is a huge player, Samsung is a huge player. You know, some of these other groups might, they might say, listen, I'm gonna subsidize the giving away of the free televisions because I need some competitive advantage to grow audience, and you know, it could be. Personally, I believe it's going to happen within the next 2 years. That's my gut feeling. Again, it's going to take just one group to say they're ready to do it.
Now, it'll be interesting to see whether some of the other smart TV players like Hisense, like TCL, like Panasonic, possibly displace the wireless TV set that was announced at CES last month. And we had the CEO on late last year on this program. And let's not forget the Comcast Charter joint venture, which is doing Xumo Plus, which is the TV set and the
yep.
operating system all in one. Let me get into another motivating factor that could trigger free TVs being offered from the smart TV set and device community. And that is what sort of came out at CES, or tried to come out at CES, which is that some of these people want to do interactive services. They want to do telemedicine. They want to do teleeducation. When LG had that Media Day presentation, they talked about a deal with ADT to develop a home security system, including emergency calling. Samsung has been talking about this idea of becoming, with their smart TV sets, smart home hubs, where you can control all sorts of other things, including interacting with your washing machine or your refrigerator freezer or the video doorbell in the front of your house or apartment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, they did not demonstrate it. They didn't have press releases. And also, LG is talking about the possibility of a metaverse platform where metaverse apps could actually become presented on the TV set as opposed to your smartphone or tablet or other places. Do you think ultimately that could become a motivating factor to offering their sets free?
Yeah, and the big players in that space are going to be Amazon and Google if they eventually do make their own hardware, or if they just, you know, they just partner with a hardware maker, which is more likely, because they're already in those games, right? Amazon already is in, you know, Amazon is moving into the health space aggressively. They've announced many things through the years, you know, pharmaceutical, et cetera. They're just moving very quickly. They already are well into the security pieces with Ring. You know, it would be a very compelling, I think, offer for them to say, this all, you know, we have the sets that work with, that they're just extensions of all of these pieces, and you're getting free television with it, free content with it, you know, and then, you know, don't forget also if you can switch someone to your operating system from using a different operating system, then potentially you can be a gatekeeper through to the subscription video services like Netflix's, right? So you may be able to extract a bounty from the Netflix's of the world or any of the other SVOD services of the world, because now you're going to be having them on, you know, the audience is going to be accessing it through your television versus the previous operating system that they were on. So, you know, the idea that you just said about some of those ideas that came out of CES, yes. As far as the wireless piece goes, any of those more aspirational, higher-end televisions, they're never going to be free, in my opinion, right? It's always, you're always going to want to pay the extra for the highest tech. I mean, you know, the mobile carriers, they're not giving away the top of the line iPhones, right? They're giving away the base models. They're giving away, you know, the minis, or they're giving away the real base models if you want an Apple. But if you want the better Apple, you're going to pay for it, right? So there's always going to be that audience that's going to say, I want the more aspirational thing, or I want the bigger thing that is not being offered, and I'm willing to pay for that. And there's always going to be people with disposable income who are ready to do that.
Yeah. And before you go, I wanted to get your thoughts on an event that happened a year and a half ago at Adweek New York in Hudson Yards. Vizio came out with Magid on a major study involving smart TV set users, which suggested that 40% or more of that audience is interested in all sorts of interactive services, everything from ordering groceries and products and services to television sets, to having webcams, video chat, all sorts of other things. And last year, Roku, at their digital content NewFront, which is one of the best of the bunch, announced we're doing a Walmart deal where Walmart can offer products and services through us, and people can order them through the television set, not going to go through a smartphone, no tablet, no QR code, just right there. We have not heard much from Vizio since about their interest in interactive services, and we're still waiting, and we're interested to hear whether Roku at their digital content new front coming up probably this late April or May will let us know how the Walmart thing is doing, because if it's doing well, you could see a whole big splurge of retailers and retail and advertisers and people like DoorDash and Grubhub and so forth get involved with interactive television in a big way. What's your sense about this whole interactive service commerce field? How do you see it shaping up?
The proof is in the pudding, frankly. You know, I think about Amazon Echo Alexa as a really good use case of you know, interactive services, being able to order things, being able to do, you know, transactional, you know, elements through this, you know, your smart speaker at home. And, you know, there's been a lot of press that's been written about how it hasn't panned out as to be as strong in that world as I think Amazon was hoping it was going to be. And I think that the same is true of television. Until it becomes, you know, people view their televisions in a very specific way, right? This is where I consume content. I lean back and I consume, you know, as opposed to their phone or an iPad or, you know, tablet, I mean, or their computer, their laptop, where they're leaning in, they're interacting, they're transacting, that sort of thing. I think that, you know, until it becomes so simple and it is, you know, it's the lead the horse to water story, right? Like, you have to actually show a user that how simple it can be for them to do that, for them to actually start doing it. And until that happens, you know, it sounds great, but again, the proof is in the pudding, and who knows what, you know, if it'll actually come together. I mean, I think that there's people who work at companies who, you know, they want to work together because they have the dream. They think it may work. You know, two companies may say, "Listen, I have the hardware, and you have a service. Let's put them together, and I think it'll work." Well, it's the idea is one thing, the execution is another, and the adoption is the final piece. And you know, I think it sounds great, Simon, but it's very. It's, you know, it's the old Missouri show me state line, you know, show me that it's working with the data, and I'll start to believe it.
Yeah. Adam, we have about a minute left. You were on Rick Howe's Talk Back to Television yesterday, which, by the way, carried on the USA Today television network, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices. You're on our show today. Are you hearing back from the smart TV set people saying either, like, yeah, we're thinking about that, or B, are you crazy what you're saying?
You know, I haven't heard back directly from people, but I can tell you that I suddenly had a lot of people from manufacturers looking at my LinkedIn profile. So I clearly the word is getting around of this thing. I mean, I think some of them probably are looking at this and, you know, saying maybe it's crazy or maybe it's a great idea. Who knows what they're thinking? No one has actually reached out to me directly about it. But, you know, you got to think, while I like to believe that this would happen, don't forget, like, you know, many of these companies are public companies. They have giant product lines. They have giant revenue streams. They answer to boards. They answer to shareholders. And it would take moving mountains potentially for them to go down this road. But I believe that, you know, someone like a Google, you know, with Android could easily come in and be like, you know what, we want to amass audience in the TV space, and
into our operating system. All right, well, we will see. And it's, and Adam, we're going to have to leave it there. And if you want to check out Adam and what he's doing with his organization, Continuous Media, check out his LinkedIn page or his Twitter feed. Adam, you've given us a lot of food for thought this last half hour. Thank you so much for coming on, and all the very best to you and what you're doing. And maybe we'll have you back on the end of the year and see if we're closer to the free TV, free smart TV era. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Simon.
You're very welcome, Adam. Take care. Have a super weekend. Adam Wiener joining us live here in New York. When we come back, we're going to check in on day two of the existence of Odd New Jersey. It is a statewide plumbing service that is now available on Roku and may soon be coming to a plumbing service near you. We will check in with the folks at Media First Group in New Jersey after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the Richard Miller Report. He's got a lot to say about the Super Bowl, about the Pro Bowl that's happening this weekend, and much, much more in the world of sports. Richard Miller Report, tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, at 10:30 a.m. Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget that we charge 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. What with those of you just joining us at the bottom of the hour, Simon Applebaum with you live from wherever you are, 22 degrees and cool here in the Big Apple at the bottom of the hour. More great guests coming your way in the hour ahead, plus our classic trivia question of the week, plus our takeaway of the week. And we want to hear from you. So make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Yesterday, a new programming service appeared in New Jersey on Roku. It's all about what's happening in the Garden State. It's called On New Jersey, and it may be the first statewide programming service that will be distributed exclusively or mostly through smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles. Joining us live to talk about the program and the service and where it goes from here, current and future, are the two partners from Media First Group, the folks running On New Jersey, Gerald D'Ambra and Lisa Marie Falbo. Gerald and Lisa, thank you for being here. Welcome in.
Thanks.
Gerald, you're on.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. Lisa, are you there? All right, we're waiting Lisa to come on. But Gerald's joining us, by the way, from Medford, New Jersey, and Lisa hopefully will be joining us shortly. Gerald, talk about On New Jersey. How are you doing in day number two?
We're doing great, actually. This week was our official launch. We soft launched the channel over the summer, and we officially launched today. We've been gearing up original programming to push out to our Roku and to our website. We do a morning show called the New Jersey Morning Show. It's hosted by veteran TV news anchors Christina Baer and Cara DeFalco. They're joined by meteorologist Mike Favetta and Don Smith, who knows traffic, New Jersey traffic, better than anyone ever, I think, in the history of New Jersey roads. And we have a lot of other programming that we've been ramping up to really get the channel going. And our goal here is to provide a free source of video television news for the Garden State. New Jersey is one of those one of those areas where you don't get a lot of news coverage. We're very, very fortunate to be sandwiched between two huge media markets, New York and Philadelphia. But the problem is we're often ignored, and a lot of the things that impact New Jersey in state government, in culture, in schools are often not covered by New York media. So our goal here is to create a channel where New Jersey residents can find out what's happening and to really get into depth and allow us to focus on New Jersey-specific issues. And, the technology that's available today is absolutely incredible. We're on Roku. We have a website. We are looking forward to expanding to a lot of other different kinds of technologies. I know you guys were talking about fast channels, and that's something that's on our radar that we're working towards. So there's so much growth and potential. We really are looking to distribute our content and our channel as far as we can to reach all of New Jersey.
And I believe Lisa Marie Falbo is with us. She's not only a partner in your organization, but she's also one of the show hosts. Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know about those technical difficulties, but thank you for the amazing intro and Gerald for telling our story. Happy to be
on. You're very, very welcome. Lisa, where are you calling from? What city?
I am currently in Fairfield, New Jersey, where we are currently based out of.
So how long have you and Gerald been looking at doing a statewide plumbing service? As Gerald mentioned, it has been very, very tough for New Jersey-based TV ventures to get going. I remember the days of WBTV and the Uncle Floyd Show and Financial News in the Mornings. It was on UHF. Didn't last too long time-wise. New Jersey Network on public television did have a great run, but it then was swallowed up by WNET Group New York. Other things have tried to do stuff out of New Jersey. It's been very difficult. Of course, there's still the ongoing controversy of WWR Channel 9, which is based in the Caucus, but doesn't originate plumbing from there. How long had you and your organization and your colleagues been thinking about doing a statewide service?
Well, you know what's funny? I launched a channel in 2014, and it was New Jersey Lifestyle. It was web-based, and we aired locally here on a couple of the cable outlets. And then at the same time, Gerald had launched a streaming channel. So we weren't working together, but we were both definitely on the same wavelength. And in 2020, 2021, during the height of the pandemic, we came together and we're like, look, like, let's try this concept. You know, we both respected each other's work. So we tried the New Jersey Morning Show. Gerald served as the executive producer. I served as one of the hosts. I was like 6-7 months pregnant at the time. And we just launched this streaming live morning show every Friday from our kitchen tables. And from there, I think we really enjoyed working with each other and things just took off from there. And not soon after that, we decided to go full steam ahead in joining our talents together to create a streaming channel dedicated to New Jersey news, talk, sports, and entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Gerald, what's been the reaction from viewers so far to your first day and a half of programming?
Well, we've been programming for longer. As I mentioned, it was just our official kickoff. But the reaction has been really, really positive. What I'm getting, and I'm getting a lot of direct messages, are people are saying this is something that we really need. We really enjoy the programming, especially the interviews. One of the things we focus on is being able to interview people remotely, or sometimes we'll go in person to interview them. It's, you really can't get an in-person interview. So think about when you're watching CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC, and they're interviewing people all day long. They bring in guests. It's not something that happens here in New Jersey or here with New Jersey media. So we're giving access to organizations and businesses to come on and do a Q&A with our journalists and get their information out there. So I think that's one of the biggest pieces of feedback that I've received. People absolutely love the weather, the morning show, just the kind of people that we've been able to bring together. A lot of our talent, our staff, our journalists, they are New Jersey journalists, longtime New Jersey journalists who we've brought together. They're all excited to be part of this new endeavor. And we've been getting a lot of feedback that people really enjoy seeing them on as well.
And Lisa, given the fact that you're one of the hosts, you do a show called Your New Jersey that deals with community leaders, organizations that are based in the state. What's it been like for you to try to get guests for your program on a regular basis, given that you're, for a lot of these people, you're the new player in the state?
You know what? I have the time of my life doing that show, and I think if you watch it, you definitely pick up on that because it's kind of like a virtual town hall where I get to chat with, like, the top leaders in the state. I mean, the people doing and shaping our communities, it has been such a amazing experience. I mean, from First Lady Tammy Murphy, we were invited to the governor's mansion down in Princeton at Drumthwacket during the holidays, and she gave me a whole exclusive tour of the holiday decor. And to get that FaceTime with obviously the First Lady of New Jersey, I mean, it doesn't get bigger than that in the state. But I get pitched all the time to appear on the show, and people are so excited that they finally have an outlet to promote the good work that they're doing because, like Gerald said before, we're sandwiched between New York and Philadelphia, and it's very hard for a New Jersey-based nonprofit, for example, to get any sort of publicity, and we're here to fill that gap.
We are speaking with the people who are making On New Jersey happen. Now, its second day of existence on Roku, hopefully soon will be on other smart TV sets and smart TV devices to viewers throughout the Garden State. We are speaking with two of the partners at the parent company Media First Group, Gerald D'Ambra and Lisa Marie Falvo. They're both joining us from Medford, New Jersey, and Fairfield, New Jersey, respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you from across the Hudson River in New York, 21 degrees now, near the top of the hour. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later, before the top of the hour, classic trivia question of the week. Last time we're offering our current question. You can get a wonderful new book if you are first with the correct answer by email. And then in our final half hour, after the top of the hour, we will be joined by Lindsay Goffman. She's one of the executive producers, the key executive producer, of the new ABC drama, The Company You Keep, that premieres on February 19th. And that's not the whole story. She is also on a quest to adapt more Korean formats into TV formats in the United States. One of them you've already seen and enjoyed, The Good Doctor. Yes, she was a big player in making that happen with Daniel Dae Kim. And Lindsay Goffman will be joining us again live from California after the top of the hour. Gerard, what has been the interest from other smart TV set and device makers and multi-channel bundles about taking your service?
We've already have offers, and I can't disclose who, but we already have offers to distribute our programming as a fast channel. And that's something that we are in the process of building out. And, you know, we are very, very obviously early on in our existence of the channel. But I think the way that the trends are going in the industry is kind of almost a no-brainer to build out a fast channel. There are so many places that you can distribute to. It's not only existing, you know, TV station owners who have apps, but there's, as you mentioned, there's sites like Pluto TV, Roku, and so many others who are opening it up to content producers and distributors like ourselves. You no longer have to be a very, very, very large media company in order to distribute your program to so many different places, to distribute nationally even. And the technology is really, really amazing, and we're, you know, thrilled to be able to be part of it.
Yeah. Lisa, right now I believe you have three shows in the lineup. New Jersey Morning Show, which you talked about earlier, and your own program, You're New Jersey. You also got a show with Laura Jones called New Jersey Politics. If that is stage one, what is the next stage, and when will we see the next group of shows appear?
Oh, you read our minds, because that's what we're working on right now. I mean, what we are putting out is just the tip of the iceberg as to the ideas that Gerald and I have for programming in the state. So all I can say is stay tuned, because there is much, much more to come on New Jersey.
Can you give us a hint about what areas you're going to be leaning into, whether you will do newscasts a la News 12 New Jersey, which I should have mentioned earlier, that is still around statewide. Or, for example, doing variety shows, doing entertainment shows, doing more in the town hall sort of format, and maybe even sports involving statewide teams, either professional or college?
You know, all of the above. Definitely heavy emphasis on news, because, again, there's not a lot of places. I mean, you mentioned News 12, but there's not a lot of places for people to get their hometown news. And that's what our viewers want. So definitely a heavy emphasis on news, on breaking news, on being out in the field and getting to the heart of the matter, but also longer term lifestyle entertainment shows, again, geared toward the New Jersey consumer.
Mm-hmm. Gerald, are any national advertisers based in Jersey stepping up to the plate and sponsoring, either sponsoring segments, sponsoring shows, sponsoring with messages? What is the ad scene like?
The ad scene is, we're still fairly new to the game, and we've been focused on New Jersey-based advertisers rather than going after national advertisers. The reason is that we wanted to create a solution for local advertisers to be able to run spots or some kind of show integrations on a local channel. So our focus has been really on New Jersey companies who have stepped up to the plate. We are working with some that we are going to be unveiling very soon. And but, you know, as far as the national advertising scene, it's not something we have tapped just yet. We do have a brand new sales team who are amazing, and they are starting on this as we speak.
Mm-hmm. What about places like Burlington Coat Factory or the Jewelry Factory in Hackensack or some of the medical institutions like Hackensack Medical Center or shopping malls that might be interested?
You're giving us great sales leads. So, yeah, no, absolutely. Yes, that's everything you mentioned. Those are the folks that we are engaging with or looking to engage with. So some of the larger institutions – All the way to, you know, companies and nonprofits who might be much smaller, might have a smaller budget, and want to do something creative with video or in television.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, the interviews you've done for your series, what's been your favorite? You mentioned that you've interviewed the wife of Governor Phil Murphy. I understand Bernie Williams, the former New York Yankee great, has been on too. Or will be shown an upcoming episode. What's been your favorite interview?
Oh, geez, it's hard. It's like picking a favorite among your children, right? You don't want to ever pick a favorite because you're just so grateful and thankful that people are taking the time and want to be on your program. So I really can't narrow it down to one. The Tammy Murphy one, that was the first that we've done for this particular program outside of the studio. And that was very exciting to have that access, for sure.
Mm-hmm. By the way, are you hearing, either you or your fellow hosts, producers, et cetera, hearing about issues from the public that they would like to see covered, whether they're controversies, whether it's issues like crime, issues like, you know, how do we deal with society post-coronavirus pandemic, issues involving local businesses and that kind of thing, anything that comes to mind that you're already hearing, you know, if we do more news programming, we definitely want to make these key stories to follow.
Definitely one of the things from that I've been hearing and something that we're taking action on is more coverage of New Jersey government and politics in Trenton. And, listen, New York stations and Philly stations don't quite get out there as often as you think. And there is absolutely tremendous amount of that happens there. So you're going to start seeing Laura Jones with a camera in the State House, and maybe some of our other crew there will be on site, very visible, interviewing people and incorporating those interviews into our shows. So I think that's one thing. There's definitely a huge void in Trenton in terms of covering actually what's happening down there. The mainstream media usually shows up for the very, very, very big stuff. But everything else that happens, that the things that actually affect us on a day-to-day basis that happens in Trenton, those things are usually never covered. And that's one of the things that we're aiming to cover.
Gerard Ambra and Lisa Marie Falbo are our guests this half hour on NYB Televised. They are partners of Media First Group. That is the organization behind On New Jersey, now in its second day, is a statewide programming service that's available right now on Roku and soon will be available on other smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. They're joining us live from Medford and Fairfield, New Jersey, respectively, this half hour on NYB Televised. Happy you're with us to wrap up the week. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, where it is 21 degrees coming toward the top of the hour. And shortly, we'll have our final tie with our current classic trivia question of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you'll win the brand new book, 7 Ways to Become a Famous Doctor by America's Health Journal host, Roland Perez. So stand by. We want to hear from you. We're still going after our fourth winner of the year and our fourth winner in 5 weeks. So it could be you, but you got to get your trivia cap on and listen toward the top of the hour. It's obviously very early in the game. We're still like a day and a half in to your existence. Are you starting to get feelers from other companies about doing similar channels, similar services like this in other states?
Oh, that's such a great question. So, as Gerald said, we just announced the launch yesterday, but we've actually been in production now for a few months. And one of our guests that appeared on the New Jersey Morning Show, she had a prominent, very prominent magazine called Bella Magazine and sold before the pandemic, but she's a Jersey girl, and she came on to talk about an event that her and her husband were co-chairing out on Staten Island. Her name is Courtney Cooper Hall, and after we interviewed her, I texted Courtney and said that was so fun, and she's like, I'm obsessed. I want to keep doing the show, and I floated the idea, well, let's bring it to Staten Island. She immediately called me, and fast forward a few months later, we are in the beginning stages of launching on Staten Island. So Staten Island shares a lot in common with New Jersey in that it's definitely the forgotten borough by far. It gets the least amount of media coverage. It's part of New York City, but people really don't consider it. So there's a definite, definite need and void there. And the same kind of concept. We have the Staten Island Morning Show. We're in the process of putting together other Staten Island-geared products. And again, stay tuned for more on that, but you can go and check out on Staten Island. You know, we're streaming online. Tuesdays and Wednesdays is the Staten Island Morning Show. And it just showed us that, to your point, this does have legs, and this could really go to other parts of the country, really, that are underserved.
Mm-hmm. Gerard, is that the long-range goal of Media First? Is to either establish similar channels around the country or particular regions, as well as help other entrepreneurs launch similar services?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. You know, we run a Lisa and I run a multi-camera TV studio headquartered in Fairfield, and we're actually in the process of moving, but. We're moving to a larger space where we're going to open a much larger facility. I mean, having the studio operations and having the ability to distribute and create these channels, I think it's absolutely something that is on our radar and is not terribly far off. We're looking at, you know, identifying the areas that are similar to New Jersey. And you don't have to have a broadcast tower anymore to reach a large audience. And if we're able to, you know, continue driving this and continue driving the success of this channel, I think it absolutely could be duplicated in other markets. It would not look exactly the same. I think every market has a very, very unique, is very, very unique. And we need to be able to capture that. But I think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity to do so, especially in the next few years. You have not only all of these fast channels and these areas where you can distribute the fast channels, but as broadcast TV goes to 4K, there's going to be a lot more opportunity there to also deliver content around the country. There's going to be a tremendous, tremendous gap in available content in, I believe, the next 10 years.
Yeah. By the way, Netflix and Lionsgate have either broken ground or will be breaking ground shortly on brand new major production studios in Newark or in New Jersey. Any thoughts about perhaps tying in with them at some point to originate shows?
We'd absolutely love to. They are closing on the military base Fort Monmouth, which is in Eatontown, right along the Jersey Shore there. It's a massive facility. I was back in my earlier days, I was a TV reporter here in New Jersey, and I covered a lot of things that happened in and out of that facility, and they're going to have just incredible space there. I can't even imagine, you know, what they're going to produce there, but it's definitely something we would like to do as we continue to get more involved with other media companies around the state and continue to network. And as they come into New Jersey, it's definitely some of the introductions that we're looking to get. Lisa, I know it's something you probably would absolutely love to be connected with too.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, not only do Gerald and I work with news and doing TV shows, you know, we have other creative projects in mind as well that would totally align with, again, the New Jersey theme, but a little more on the creative side, and those would be absolutely amazing partners to have.
Yeah, and Lisa is a, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention this, but Lisa is a published author. She has an amazing story that would make a great Netflix film. So I think it would be a great relationship.
One final question for both of you. Have you heard from Byron Allen about getting on Local Now, which is his very unique multi-channel bundle that is both hyper-local but also carries a lot of national programming, and one would think that that he would be interested in taking your service?
No, we haven't connected with Byron. We would love to. I don't know him. We are in talks with some other companies right now, but, I would absolutely love to connect with Byron. I think we would be a really, really good fit for Local Now.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Allen Media Group, the company he owns, will be in New York City next week for Magna's upfront event, a three-day event, two in person. Magna's one of the top ad agencies in the country. They've done this for a couple of years. Last year they did it in person as well as virtual. It's a three-day event, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'll be covering it, by the way, for Media Village, and you'll get stories on MediaVillage.com. So, If we have a chance, we'll bring it up and see if they might be willing to do it. So we'll see what happens there. Again, On New Jersey is now playing on Roku. We'll soon be playing on other smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. We will keep you posted. For more details about the service online, here's where you go, www.onnnj.com. It's www.onnnj.com. And if you want to know more about the parent company, mediafirstgroup.com. It's mediafirstgroup.com. Gerard D'Ambra, Lisa Marie Falvo, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on launching On New Jersey, and hopefully a great, great future and existence in store.
Thank you so much.
This was awesome, and you're crazy knowledgeable, by the way. It's fascinating to listen to you spew out all these different facts and everything, so congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you very much, Lisa and Gerard. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the thoughts. And we're going to keep on keeping on. Both of you have a great, great rest of your Friday and a sensational weekend.
Thanks, you too.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Gerard Ramba, Lisa Marie Falvo, joining us from Medford and Fairfield, New Jersey, respectively. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. Last time we're offering our current question, which we posed for the last nearly 2 weeks or so. If you're first with the correct answer, you'll win the brand new book, Seven Ways to Become a Famous Doctor by America's Health Journal's Roland Perez. He's one of the hosts on that series, available on PBS. Also, it's 24/7 service on smart TV sets, devices, and bundles. Here's the question. 77 Sunset Strip was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.'s first live-action television series as star or co-star. What was his last? 77 Sunset Strip was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.'s first live-action TV series as star or co-star. What was his last? Couple of thoughts. It was a reboot of a very popular series made by Walt Disney in the late 1950s. It was in the action-adventure vein, and he was on the series, the reboot, for the first season only. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you first get the answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. This Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWT. In order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all of the very best. And before we hit the top of the hour, I want to give a big shout-out to the Hollywood Reporter's popular podcast, TV's Top 5, which today had its 200th episode. Congratulations to the folks who make that happen. Leslie Goldberg, the West Coast TV editor, and Daniel Feinberg, one of the best TV critics in the country, as co-hosts. Congratulations for more than 4 years of a terrific show. They do a lot of wonderful interviews, break a lot of stories, also a lot of great features, and, of course, Daniel's wonderful reviews. That's TV's Top 5. You can catch it every Friday morning on The Hollywood Reporter on their website or HollywoodReporter.com. So do check them out. Congratulations, Leslie and Daniel. Hopefully many, many more additions to come. And come on our program. We would love to have you. When we come back, we will have Lindsay Goffman, the executive producer behind The Company You Keep, launching on ABC February 19th. And that's not all she's doing. Wait till you hear about her big quest. She'll tell us about it from California, live when we come back after the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the Happy Hour Party. Wow, what a tongue twister. Happy Hour Party on BTR tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's the Happy Hour Party tonight on Blog Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget the best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of this 90-minute edition of Tawabi Televised on a wonderful Friday and cool Friday afternoon here in the Big Apple and around the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states. Simon Abbott with you live from New England, too. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. Welcome to everybody just joining us at the top of the hour. Got a wonderful guest coming your way this half hour and want to hear from you. So give us a call. Here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. It's 646-652-2906. Number good anywhere you're catching us across the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Don't forget the chat room is in business. It's SimonApple04 by name. Find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. If you're a fan of The Good Doctor now running Tuesday nights on ABC, we've got the person that made it happen. Why? She and Daniel Day Kim helped put it together, but it was this person you're about to hear who actually came up with the format that inspired The Good Doctor. And she is someone who is making a habit and a career out of taking formats from Korea and turning them into U.S. television series. The latest, The Company You Keep, starring Milo Ventimiglia, lady of This Is Us fame, and a wonderful new star I think you're hearing a lot more about named Catherine Hyena Kim. And the show premieres on February 19th at 10 p.m. Pacific time on your local ABC station. Joining us live in an interview exclusive from Sherman Oaks, California, Lindsay Goffman. Lindsay, congratulations. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Simon. I'm thrilled to be here.
First of all, how are things going getting ready for the premiere of The Company You Keep?
It is very exciting. It's all happening. We dropped the trailer, the key art. Milo and our cast are going to be hitting all the talk shows, the late night shows, Times Square. So it's exciting, Sunday, February 19th.
How did you get into the business of adapting formats from South Korea into U.S. television, as you did previously with The Good Doctor? What about what Korea is doing that makes you think these formats, these series can work modified for the U.S.?
Sure. I mean, it's funny, like, Koreans right now are, one of the hottest things in Hollywood, but this was back in 2013 that I first saw the Korean format of The Good Doctor. And I was at this COCA event where I saw the trailer of the Korean version. And I have a son. He was 3 years old at the time. And he has a severe visual impairment. His fovea didn't develop, so he has a lot of trouble with seeing fine detail and, reading social cues and that sort of thing. And so being a mom of, a son who had challenges, I could really relate to that character, and wanting to see a protagonist, have hope and give families hope. And so I met the heads of the Korean network. They were at this event, and I told them my personal story and championed the format. And and I could go on and on about how it all came together. But I mean, these formats, they're great. Like, they're addictive. I don't know if you or your audience has watched many of them, but they really go from, super dramatic to really funny and, mixing genres so beautifully.
Hmm. So talk about adapting The Company You Keep from this format called My Fellow Citizens. What made it appealing to do that?
Sure. So, yeah, I saw the format for my fellow citizens. And, you know, because of the success of The Good Doctor, I have a lot of relationships with the Korean network. So I'm always looking at, you know, what are the latest K-dramas. And, you know, my fellow citizens, like, I thought it had some familiar elements, but, like, I thought the characters, you know, they felt unique, they felt different, and it felt fun, right? So, you know, the show, so I can tell you about the company you keep. So Milo Ventimiglia, he plays Charlie. He is a con artist. And his family, you know, they're a group of con artists. And he meets and falls in love with a woman named Emma. That's Catherine Hennequin, as you said, who's in the CIA. And her family, they're kind of like, you know, the Asian American Kennedys. And she doesn't know what he does. He doesn't know what she does. So, you know, I just thought that is a very interesting premise for the show. You know, John Chu, I've been a fan of his for so long, and I knew his producing partner, Caitlin, and we were trying to find something to do together. You know, John did Crazy Rich Asians. And so, you know, I brought this format to him. We got the amazing writer, Julia Cohen. And then Milo, you know, was coming off of This Is Us and, you know, wanted to figure out what his next thing was going to be. And, you know, luckily he saw the spark in this character, and we got to develop it with, you know, him and his company, Russ and Deanna, over at Divide and 20th. And here we are about to premiere.
You know, we're seeing lately a number of shows, both scripted and unscripted, dealing with heists, dealing with capers. At the start of the year, Netflix launched Kaleidoscope. Well, and we have Eric Garcia, the creator of that series, on our program. Kaleidoscope is a program that deals with the pre, during, after of a big heist with Giancarlo Esposito in the cast. And the show is arranged in such a way you can take there are 8 episodes. Each has a color attached. And you can pick and choose what episode you want to see first, second, third, fourth, et cetera. On Wednesday, we had the great documentarian R.J. Cutler, whose latest work is Murph the Surf, about one of the great, you know, heist con men of all time, who back in the 60s stole the Star of India from the American Museum of Natural History. The show, by the way, was on Sunday night on MGM Plus, from the Epics, is Murph the Surf, Jewels, Jesus, and Mayhem in the USA. So it seems, is there any sense like why we're seeing like all these caper shows? And we have True Lies coming up in March on CBS. So there's sort of this like caper spree here.
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I guess people just enjoy them. Like, you know, I enjoy them myself. Like, I thought the Anna Delvey, Netflix one was fantastic. You know, the Dropout, the one Michael Showalter did, was great. So, I think we just like seeing, you know, if they're smart and well done. We like seeing people figure, you know, if they're in a tough spot, we like seeing people, you know, figure out ways how to make things work for them. So I don't know, and people just they seem to enjoy them. I think it's figuring out, you know, the different engines for these shows. You know, do you want to have a con a week, or do you want to have it be, you know, completely serialized where there's one con? I mean, you know, there's all the Ocean's franchises. Like there's a lot of different ways that you can do those kind of heisty con shows.
Yeah. It seems as it's back in vogue. I remember in the 60s, we had THE Cat, we had Takes a Thief and other shows like that. Switch in the 70s with Eddie Albert and Robert Wagner. So it's very interesting to see that kind of show and those kind of movies come back in big style. We're talking about The Company You Keep, and it premieres on ABC at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Sunday, February 19th. We're talking with Lindsay Goffman. She is the executive producer of the show. She also got the format from Korea that is inspired by. And she also runs her own production company called Gratitude Productions. And wait till you hear all the other projects derived from Korean formats that she is working on. We're going to get to that next. And Lindsay joins us live from Sherman Oaks, California this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you from the other side of the nation, New Ever York. Right now, 21 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up Monday on our program, we'll be with you earlier than normal. We'll be with you at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. This is a special event I'll be going to with NBC Universal at 30 Rock in our normal time period. We've got the executive producers of the new Disney Channel tune, Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaurs, already up for a second season. We'll talk to executive producers Steve Lober and Rodney Clowden. That's Monday, noon Eastern, lunchtime on the East Coast, 9 a.m. Pacific, breakfast time on the West, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lindsay, what's it been like working with Milo, but also working with Catherine Ida Kim, who seems to be the latest in this incredible line of Asian-American actresses who have been bursting on the TV scene over the last 2 years? People like Ella Young from The Cleaning Lady, which just got the go-ahead for season 3 on Fox yesterday. Arden Cho from Partner Track, who I thought was one of the big breakout stars of last year on Netflix. It just seems to be this incredible super group of talent that's like bursting on the scene.
Yeah, no, it's really been wonderful. I mean, you know, Milo, first of all, like he is, you know, he's been doing this for so long. He's, you know, he directed on This Is Us, and you know, talk about having a great number one on the, you know, on the call sheet to set the tone is fantastic. And then, you know, having Catherine, their chemistry is off the charts, and you can really see it on the show and the trailer. And she's lovely. She's so talented. I feel like, you know, she's gonna break out in a huge way. And then, you know, we've got Charlie's whole family as well, who are all amazing actors. We've got Bill Fichtner, we've got Polly, we've got Sarah Wayne Callie. And then Sarah Wayne Callie, she plays Birdie, who's Charlie's, Birdie is Charlie's sister, and Charlie's niece is played by this young actress named Shaylee Mansfield. She plays Ollie, who's 12 years old and who's deaf. And so that's something that is really exciting, is bringing that kind of representation into our show. And, you know, working with Shaylee on, you know, she's doing, everybody's learning ASL, and, you know, making sure that we're handling that in the right way. And then, on Catherine's on her side with her family, we've got James, we've got Frida, we've got Tim playing her brother. So it's just there are so many just great story engines, and it's a family drama, it's a punch, it's heist, it's romance, it has everything.
Yeah. For those who don't know Catherine, how did she come into play here? What had she done before, and how did you find her and cast her?
I mean, she was just one of those, like, amazing, you know, looking through hundreds of casting tapes, and just seeing her read. I mean, you know, it's all during COVID, so, you know, everything was online, but she just, you know, she came out of the screen, and she felt like the character. Like, you know, she had that that quality, right? Where, you know, she could be a CIA officer, but, you know, as a really strong, powerful woman, but also really vulnerable, you know, when it comes to romance. And you know, she had been on a Freeform show, Good Trouble and FBI, And yeah, she's incredible. I feel so lucky to be working with her.
Now, in addition to what you're doing on this particular ABC series, you also have your own production company. Love the title, Gratitude. And you are using this as a factory to bring all these other Korean formats to life. And I understand from the advance sheet I got from your publicist that you've got, contracts or deals up and down the wazoo. Just tell everybody, who you're dealing with and what formats you're working on.
Well, yes, I do. I feel very grateful that I have a lot of I'm working on a lot of different Korean formats. But, I'm just looking – at the end of the day, Simon, I'm just looking for great IP, And so wherever that comes from – and look, a lot of them are coming from Korea. But, a couple of things I'm doing, I've got a project with the fashion designer Rich Fresh, who does, he is a black single father, grew up in Memphis. He does clothes for The Weeknd and John Legend. And so doing a Dave Master of None kind of show about his life. I'm doing a project, with the Roots and Dulé and Jasmine Hill, all about, the Cotton Club. And, we've seen the Cotton Club from, the white perspective, from the Richard Gere perspective, but we've never seen it from a black female dancer, singer-dancer perspective. So working on that,
I hope you do it, because I think the Cotton Club would be a wonderful series to do, especially if you do it in New York and you do it at the Cotton Club or in Harlem.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the hope. And then also, I'm working with this amazing comedian, Mikey Winfield, who he just got the golden buzzer from Simon Cowell on America's Got Talent All-Star. So him, me, and Raven Simone, we're all working together. We're putting together this Ted Lasso kind of project, actually based on his real life. So doing all kinds of projects. There's a Korean book that I'm adapting for a big streamer that I'm doing with Justin Lin's company, kind of in the vein of Triangle of Sadness or Squid Game.
And I understand you've got three projects with FX. You've got deals with Apple TV Plus. You've got a deal with Amazon. You've got a deal with Freevee, Amazon Prime Video, but also Freevee. You've also got a Trevor Noah deal. MGM was also now part of Amazon Universal Television. I mean, what's it like to be in an environment where you have all these different services and all the, whether it's mega content like Netflix or Disney Plus or Hulu or Prime Video, or you have still cable and broadcast, you have all these, as we've been talking about most of the episodes today, these fast channels or single channels that are running on smart TV sets and devices, multi-channel bundles. Sort of like Crackle and Topic, and so does it sometimes hit your mind oh my God, here are all these places that I can deal with?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's great to have. It's great and it's overwhelming, right? To have all these opportunities. So when you put together a show, a pitch, which can take years to. Secure the IP, to find the writer, if you're going to attach a director, if you're going to attach an actor, whatever that looks like. And so, the more at-bats you get, the better your odds are. So, as a seller, I love it. As a consumer, it's a lot, if I haven't watched something, I feel like I've missed a homework assignment or something weird. So, but yeah, it feels like there's because a lot of the feature writers have come to television. There's so much opportunity, to tell these meaningful stories on these platforms and television.
And let's not forget, Roku is now a player with original content, And as we were talking about at the first half hour, you've got Samsung and LG and Vizio and other smart TV set makers who are now in the channel, either channel making business or the content making business. So you never know. They could be your next players too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, you look at a network like AMC, right? They had all these, you know, amazing movies, but then all of a sudden they got Mad Men and Breaking Bad and then Walking Dead. So, you know, it just takes a couple things and it changes the course of an entire network.
When we come back with Lindsay Gotham, we're going to find out what the Korean reaction is to what's being adapted from them here, The Good Doctor and now The Company You Keep and other things too. We're speaking with Lindsay Gothman. She is now the founder and chief executive of her own company, Gratitude Productions. She is also the key executive producer of The Company You Keep, premiering on ABC Sunday, February 19th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And if you have a question or comment, meeting this with Lindsay joining us live from Sherman Oaks, California, make that call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up before we leave you, our takeaway of the week. You know, Dr. Phil is about to wrap up 21 years on the air in daytime syndication, and it's just another example of daytime TV at a crossroads. I'll explain shortly before we leave you at the bottom of the hour. So, Lindsay, what do the Korean format folks think about how you've adapted The Good Doctor and how you're adapting The Company You Keep and all that? What kind of feedback do you get?
I mean, it's been the Good Doctor has just been it's been so amazing the feedback and you know hearing from you know the network how that property you know really put that show on the map and their network on the map and you know. There's been a really positive response, but like, you know, even more than that, like the response just in general, like there was a study published in the Journal of Autism and Developmental Disorders, and it was, does watching The Good Doctor affect knowledge of and attitudes toward autism? And the answer was that people who watched the Good Doctor, they had more empathy. They understood this character more because, you know, they felt like they knew somebody with autism. They felt like they knew Sean Murphy because, you know, he's in your home every week. And so to me, like, that is so powerful to think about that a TV show can do that and can make such an impact where people can be more understanding of someone that they wouldn't have understood before.
The Company You Keep is ABC's latest drama series starring Milo Ventimiglia and Catherine Hayden Kim, and it premieres Sunday, February 19th, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on your local ABC station. So check your local listings for the ABC station in your area. It will also probably be playing on Hulu as well shortly after. And for more details about the series online, go to abc.com. And for more details about what Lindsay is doing all over the place with her own production company, here's where you can go online, gratitudeproductions.net. That's gratitudeproductions.net. Wait till you hear what she is up to. It's really an amazing, amazing career. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with The Company You Keep, you and your cast and crew. Have a hunch that February 19th is the beginning of a very, very, like The Good Doctor, a very, very long run. And we'd love to have you back to talk about your future projects, screen and otherwise. It's been a delight having you on.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Simon. I really appreciate the time, and it's been a pleasure being a part of this. So thank you, and talk to you later.
You got it, Lindsay. Take care. Have a super weekend.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Lindsay Gothman, executive producer of The Company You Keep. Again, it starts on February 19th. It's a Sunday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on ABC, and she joined us live from Sherman Oaks, California. Now, before we leave you, it's time for our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week, a takeaway development or two that we think you should keep in your mind as what could impact the future of what you watch and how you use television. One of the big stories this week was the news that after 21 seasons on the air in daytime syndication, Dr. Phil McGraw is hanging it up. He will stop production of his series this spring. stations that currently take the show, along with the Oprah Winfrey Network, will be able to get a rerun package for the 2023-24 season with new wraparounds and updates on Dr. Phil's guests and topics. In the meantime, Dr. Phil is moving on with his production company, which also involves his son, Jay, who has been on the show before, by the way, this show before, to talk about new primetime projects, including one that Dr. Phil probably will be hosting maybe as early as next winter. And Dr. Phil, with that announcement, became the latest in a series of major hosts and personalities in daytime television that over the last year, year and a half, have decided, that's it, I'm calling it quits. People like Maury Povich, Jerry Springer, Ellen DeGeneres, the folks behind The Real, the folks behind The Doctors as well, all of them gone or will be gone by this summer. And in their place, well, there's a new set of shows that have started last fall, like Jennifer Hudson's Talk Variety Show, like Jerry Springer's program, the new news magazine with Elizabeth Vargas, iCrime, Pictionary, the new game show, Karamo, the new relationship show from NBC Universal, and also the Lauren Lake courtroom program from Byron Allen's People. All of them, by the way, have now been renewed for a second season. Yet, in despite that, the ratings for and the viewership of daytime television has gone down, 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 down. We're talking about programming between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern time. What's happening? Maybe only one or two shows in that time period gets more than a one rating. Highest rate, I believe, is Live with Kelly and Ryan, which gets like a 1.7 to a 2.0 rating every week. The rest, probably between like 0.9 and 0.2, and yet they're still on the air. However, we're seeing more reruns. Maury's in reruns. Jerry Springer's in reruns. Judge Judy continues in reruns. Plus, you also have more local news programming and news magazine programming happening in the daytime hours as well. I really believe that this coming season is going to be a crossroads for daytime syndicated television. Very few new shows are going to be coming on the air this fall. Maybe Nicolea's proposed talk variety hour. Maybe the Ebony K. Williams courtroom hour that Byron Allen talked about early this week. It was announced on Tuesday. And maybe one or two other shows. And that is it. I really believe that this coming season is a big one. If the new crop of shows that launch this fall don't improve in the ratings, I think they'll be dead. And I think you'll see more and more efforts to do more local programming in daytime. We're talking weekday syndication. Weekend, still a very exciting environment. But when it comes to daytime, weekday, it may be a very, very transitional time. We will see. Thanks to our guests for being with us today. Thanks to all of you for tuning in, not just today, but our other three episodes this week. If you came in late in today's program, want to catch an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out all of our shows this week and all this year so far at our podcast, from the iRadio Podcast Network to Spotify, at our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Remember, you can always check us out and respond to what we do by simonapple04@yahoo.com and by social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. However you respond, we respond back to you within 24 hours because what you say matters. Now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They're not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is B-Charge General Manager. Jay Steinberg, Head of Content. But tomorrow we televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great, great weekend. Take it easy out there if you're in the cold spots for the next 48 hours or so. It does get better on Sunday, whether you're in the Mid-Atlantic states, New England, and everywhere in between. We'll be back on Monday, special time, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. Here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. You know where, so be with us with the folks from Marvel's Moon Gear on Devil Dinosaur. Whatever you're tuning in now and then, please make it safe and make it so great for you and others you love. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.